Harvey Community Radio 96.5 FM is conducting 12 30-minute interviews with local residents in the Harvey area. The series is called Sounds Like Harvey. The volunteers that have agreed to be interviewed come from a diverse range of backgrounds and life experiences. The recorded interviews shall be played on Harvey Community Radio 96.5 FM twice a week over a 12-week period, with the local audio content preserved as a historical recording for future generations. Harvey Community Radio 96.5 FM is thankful for the financial support of the project provided by Community Broadcasting Foundation and the Shire of Harvey.
Hello listeners, my name is Ian and today we are continuing with Sounds Like Harvey 2024. This new Sounds Like Harvey series is all about new residents that have moved to the Harvey region within the last 5 years. And today I have some new Harvey residents, well, within the last 3 years. Our very own Duncan Booth and his lovely wife, Sally Bell. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks very much, Ian.
How do you?
Yeah, nice to have you in here for Sounds Like Harvey 2024. Okay, I'm going to ask you a series of questions and hopefully get some interesting answers from you two. So we'll kick off with what's your both your full names and where were you born, please?
Ladies first.
I'm Sally Bell. I was actually born in Sydney 60 blah, 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 blah years ago. And I actually moved to WA when I was 28 in 1991. And I spent 30 years there before chuffing off down to the best place in WA, down here in sunny Harvey.
My name's Duncan Booth. Matthew's my surname. Judith is Sally's. She loves to leave that one out.
Middle name.
Oh, did I say surname? Oh, well, that just shows you what I'm like. Yes, Duncan Booth, been living in, or was born on, in fact, born the same day as Jenny from Jenny's Shoes and Fashions in the same hospital in Subiaco. You can work out how old Jenny is. I'm 57. Five years younger than Sal.
I didn't specify, and now you've specified.
Well, it truly specified.
But yeah, loving living down here. We ran a furniture removal business up in Perth, and we're very, very happy to get rid of that and retire down here 3 years ago.
Oh, I can imagine. And you wouldn't be missing the heavy lifting, would you?
Not at all. Not at all.
Sally's got that carrying you around now. But
yes, always a burden.
And the country and region you previously lived in was like at the time you grew up there, like Sydney, for example. So how did you find it before you came over here after 28 years?
Well, I think for me, I had family that were in country New South Wales. And so I had lots of exposure to the country lifestyle all my life. And I kind of knew that a big city like Sydney was never my thing, and it used to frustrate me. I couldn't find a place where I was happy to live in Sydney. You either had to commute, you know, too far to work, or if you went further out, you couldn't get away on the weekend. You know, you could get away on the weekend, but whatever. I'm just saying, I couldn't find a balance between the two. So I always wanted to get out. So I guess Perth was the first stop, which had to be that kind of size for sort of job prospects, etc. But I always had the plan to go somewhere a lot smaller. So yeah, I think the congestion, the traffic, the seething humanity was just not me. I was always seeking something more, you know, sort of gentle, community based. Well, even, you know, when I left 33 years ago, it was pretty awful then, and it's just unbearable now. I don't like going back at all. I don't have family there these days, which is great because now I don't have to go back.
You don't have to go back.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
You don't even like going up to Perth now, do you?
I don't go up to Perth very much at all. I like the green and the birds and the silence. It's just, it's what I've always wanted.
The lush of the Harvey region.
Absolutely.
Mm. I like the green and the birds as well.
And nice. What about you, Duncan? You grew up in...
Yeah, so born in Subiaco and lived in Perth all my life. Travelled quite a bit, really enjoyed getting out and travelling, and would always be super happy to come home. Always thought about how beautiful and clean Perth and Western Australia was compared to many places around the world. But I didn't have this hankering for the country life. And Sally would say it often, oh, wouldn't it be great to go off? I started to really feel as if our neighbours were right there And I don't know whether you noticed, but over the last sort of 5 years that we were up there, I was really beginning to say, look, I don't want a neighbour just there, you know. But I didn't want to live in the country because to me, country life actually meant living on a farm. That was just what I had in my head as living in the country. I never actually thought about living in a country town. And then when finally we started to think and I realised that I didn't want to live with the roller door going up, the neighbour driving in underneath that roller door going down and just never seeing a neighbour, I really had this hankering for more of a community spirit. And I think we found it in spades.
Yeah,
in
very good way of describing it. A lot of people think country is farm and nothing else.
Mm.
And as you say, there's lots to the country, not just farms.
Well, even the way that you live, you know,
you're on a small property. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not on a farm.
Five acres. It's just a hobby farm,
yeah,
basically. But it's not a farm. It's an acreage. Yeah.
But even that, you know, that's not for me. Just doing that, you know, we live on a quarter acre here in Harvey, and
I could have done the more remote, but our compromise, I suppose, was the town, although I had always wanted to live in a country town as well. And I think as we're getting older and the, you know, proximity to town, we can walk in, it's 300-400 metres to the IGA, you know, that.
Yeah. Which
that,
one?
Which one? <Yeah. laughs> But that's, you know, I think that's the perfect compromise for the two of us.
Moving right along, we'll get back to that about why you moved down here and the rest of it. What about your family arrangements growing up? We'll start with you, Duncan, in Perth, and then family members in New South Wales, Sal. Your brothers, sisters, siblings?
Yep, I've got a couple of sisters.
Yep.
I'm the youngster. A sister, Catherine, who's 3 years older than me, and a sister, Sally, who's 4 years older. So they came over with mum and dad on the Oriana. So they shipped themselves over here as 10-pound poms. And shortly thereafter, I arrived. Yeah, so I am the token Aussie of the family.
I have got two elder siblings as well. They're both boys. So we grew up as a close family. My parents, my mum was from the country. My father was from also from the country, but ended up in the city. And yeah, my brothers are 8 and 5 years older than me, so I was quite a bit younger than my
brothers. So you're the baby
brothers.
Too.
I was the baby. I was very spoilt by my older brothers when I was a little girl. Yeah, had a great upbringing with my family. Yeah,
that's nice. Mm. And when you are the younger one, you do get spoilt rotten.
Yeah,
and it's wonderful.
It's not bad, is it? But yeah, both of my sisters have stayed in Perth.
Both of my brothers are in Queensland, actually. So none of my family have stayed where we were born, which is interesting.
Yeah, not unusual these days, though.
No,
people do move.
Not,
In the old days, they wouldn't, but now I think they do.
Yeah, they have both moved into smaller townships, haven't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah. Well, I wonder whether our sort of country affiliation when we were young, we all had that same thing in our head that we didn't want to be.
I think it's in your blood.
City. Yeah.
In your family's blood.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, and general memories of being a child in New South Wales for you, Sal, and in Perth for you, Duncan?
I came from a very, I don't know, my family was quite, well, they were affluent, I have to say that. You know, I lived quite a privileged upbringing. My father was the inaugural general manager of QBE Insurance. So, you know, he worked a lot. So I guess dad was sort of not there a lot, but he was always at home in the big garden. Oh, that's one thing. I looked at my parents and they just gardened all weekend. That was one thing I didn't want to do. And we had a very sport-focused family. We were all serious swimmers. So I think even when I was a little girl, you know, my brothers were already swimming. And so swimming had a very sort of dominant face in our family.
So much so your swimming pool had lane lines.
Our swimming pool had lane lines on the bottom. It was so embarrassing.
That's very professional for a home pool,
I know.
Isn't it? Oh, but they were.
And it was 12 and a half metres long, so that was perfect to make 8 laps for 100.
Yeah, no wonder you were.
Kind of stuff. Yeah.
You swam to Rottnest.
But there was huge success. Go on, take your modesty hat off and just.
Oh, really? Is it time to do the swimming thing?
Yes, go on, do the swimming thing.
So one thing about coming to Harvey is that I have stopped swimming, really, except when the pools open in the summer. Side note there, wouldn't it be great if it was heated? That's one thing that I've stopped in the last few years, but I kind of needed to. I was sort of losing my mojo. I've been a competitive swimmer all my life, really. So as a teenager, I swam for Australia And then I did master swimming very seriously for 25, 30 years, quite seriously. I broke a master's world record when I was 45. And over the period of time that I swam masters, I broke 67 Australian records for my age. So it's something that was a very big focus in my life. And I think I got to the end of it where I lost my mojo and I stopped enjoying competing. So I think coming down here is part of letting go of that. And I think that's important because I've been, you know, I've been able to sort of indulge other passions in my life. My brothers were both state champion swimmers as well. My middle brother, Mark, was a Commonwealth Games gold medalist. He won the 100 freestyle in Edmonton in 1978, plus won four other medals in that games.
Well, there's certainly some accolades within the family, isn't there? I thought yours was enough.
He was a more successful swimmer than I was.
Yeah.
Well, then there was Moscow as well.
Oh, yeah, he made the Olympic team for Moscow, but he was one of the few that pulled out of the Moscow Games because he didn't think that we should be taking part in that after the Russian invasion of Afghanistan. So that was sad because then he didn't ever make another Olympic team. So
yeah, that was his only chance. The final.
That was my upbringing. There was a lot of, I guess, looking back now, there's quite a lot of expectation in my family of success across various things. You know, there was quite
Which can be difficult.
High focus
when
about,
you're growing
you know.
Up.
Well, yeah, I didn't, but it didn't seem that way. We had a lot of fun as well. But yeah, there was a focus on academia and, you know, doing well, going off to uni. There was always that thing that's what you did. You know, I tried not to bring my kids up that way. You know, they were allowed to have other possibilities in their life, you know.
What about, sorry?
If it came out of the three kids, there was a marine biologist, a lawyer, and an architect. Start of an architect degree.
That's not
well,
too
no,
bad,
I finished
it?
A degree. Stop oh, yeah. saying I started.
No, there was the start as well.
Well, anyway. But all my siblings and I have got two university degrees and none of us work in the profession or either of the professions we were qualified for, that's which it. Is ridiculously
no hex, no hex debt. You study whatever you want.
That's right. It was all free for all of us.
Yeah, that's but amazing. What about your academia?
I attended most days at school.
College
finished,
lad? Or?
Finished year 12. Started going to studying sciences. I think I would have ended up being a science teacher, which probably would have suited me down to the ground anyway.
I think it would have actually.
Yeah, I do as well.
You got the looks for it, yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm on the radio, my friend. That's why I'm on the
Einstein.
Radio. Yeah, so studying and me, we aren't the best of bedfellows. So I ended up going in. My old man was an electrician when he came over here and did lots up north, lighting the railways as they were being built and many of the prominent buildings in town he was involved
and
with.
That would have been the heydays.
Yeah, that's
in
right.
In those early days too.
That's right.
In that
yeah.
sort of business.
Yeah. But he wanted to work for himself and he found himself through a friend of his getting involved in the taxi industry in Perth and ended up being very successful as a cab driver, cab owner, built up very good business there. And he said to me, hey, do you want to get into this thing called Swan Taxi Trucks, which was part of Swan Taxis, moving furniture. And so I did that for a while with him for a couple of years and then off on my own for 20 years.
Dunk's very clever. I can say that hand on heart, but I think, yeah.
Very lazy.
I think it's
Is that the word you're looking for?
Knuckling down to sort of study and sit exams and stuff, that just does not fit with his persona at all.
Well, I'm not going to comment on that lot.
you can do. Look, I understand my foibles.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, that's great. And
but I want to say that my mum was a great glass ceiling breaker. She ended up working for BHP or BHP purchased a business and sort of stole her and got her off into the management team in BHP over here in WA. But she was a great one for showing that women can really get into those management roles. And so she was a a great inspiration to see that, you know, whatever you want to do, you can.
She was a go-getter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And especially now, women in the workforce now.
Yeah.
Really come a long way.
Yeah, well, she was right up the sharp end of that, yeah. that process, yeah. wasn't she?
Oh, well done. Well done to her.
Unfortunately, we lost her, what, 9 years ago now? Oh, it must be coming up to nine.
Is it more? Yeah, it's coming up to 11.
Jeepers. She was studying at those maths classes, you know. Wow, 11 years, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think we've already touched on some of the things you loved about where you grew up. As you said, Sol, you had a good upbringing and with your swimming. Any other things you can think of you really loved about that, the early childhood and going through to the 28 years before you left New South Wales?
Yeah, I think my family was very, I don't know, we loved playing games. There was lots of board games. There was lots of outdoor activity. We didn't go on a lot of holidays and stuff. We just went to the farm. That's the country thing again. We went to the grandparents' farm and stuff. I think, I don't know. I just think it was a very safe and secure environment, and I was just always, you know, I knew I was loved. I just, Sydney, for me, although it was very big and busy, it's got beautiful beaches, and we were a very beachy family, so I spent a lot of time at the beach. Mind you, that was a sort of a 45-minute drive from our house, but, gee, we did it every weekend.
That's a beautiful stretch of coastline,
yeah,
isn't it?
Well, it is, absolutely. Yeah. Up on the northern beaches. I'm very much a northern beaches girl, not a Bondi girl.
And Whaley was your
Whale
beach,
was our beach. Yeah, and, you know, there's beautiful bushland. We did a lot of bushwalking as well, and up into the Blue Mountains, which are stunning. You know, one thing I'll say is that all those are beautiful things that people talk about Sydney, you know, the beautiful harbour and the bridge and the Opera House and out to the Blue Mountains and how beautiful it all is. When you grow up there, it's terrible how much you take that for granted. You know, I spent years in a train going across the bridge, which with my head in a newspaper, you know, not even looking out the window.
Yeah, you don't see the beautiful side of it anymore.
You just don't. And it took me years, I think, of going back there. It wasn't until I'd been gone 20 or so years, I think, and Duncan and I went back just for a weekend once. We stayed at a hotel at Kirribilli, and we went for a walk. We walked across the bridge and around the harbour and stuff, and I'm going, oh, my God, this place is beautiful. But I honestly never noticed.
Yeah, when you're doing it every day,
never
as you
noticed.
Say, when you're going to work, it's not the time, is it?
We were there by stealth, weren't we?
We were sneaking in because I didn't want to see my mother. So that's right.
And it was like we weren't allowed to tell anyone we were there.
Another interview.
we were tourists, weren't we?
Yeah,
it was really beautiful. And we walked around Kirribilli and found the PM's house. And we genuinely had our touristy hat on. And there you were. It was your town. But it was the first time actually looked at it through a visitor's eyes and saw how beautiful it was.
Isn't it nice to do it as a tourist
in
your own town?
Well, when you go back to your own town, you know, when there's family, I used to go back and I'd have to see 15 different people and you'd be on the road the whole time and everyone wanted a piece of you and I'd get home exhausted. It was never a pleasure.
And it's not a holiday.
Not a holiday, no.
And what about you, Duncan, growing up in Perth? Highlights?
Freedom. Freedom was the big thing.
Great answer.
And we used to go out there on our bikes. It was before BMX was around, you know, so it had the sissy bars and the big handlebars.
The dragsters?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. But we used to get out and there wasn't one bit. I grew up near the Karrinup shops and I remember the shopping centre going from a tiny little strip mall with huge amount of bush around it to having the largest shopping centre in the Southern Hemisphere opening on our doorstep when I was around about, I don't know, 6 or 7 or something like that. And it was pressed up against the glass windows of DJs having a look through, thinking how wonderful this is. But we knew every single loading dock, what was in, all the bins in those loading docks. We'd be climbing trees. I would find myself all the way down the coast, like a 10, 11, 12-year-old, I'd be in Cottesloe, Swanbourne, Fremantle on my bike.
Going, yeah. You'd ride that far.
Absolutely everywhere. There was this freedom where, you know, it's a cliche now, but when the streetlights came on, that was when you went home.
Yeah. Nice to have those experiences.
Though. Oh, yeah.
As a kid.
Bolt bombs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we were doing all those things that we're not meant to speak about.
Thank you,
had great fun, you know. A few of us came out with one less eye than we should have. But
oh, it sounds wonderful.
But it was, yeah, but that really, in all seriousness, freedom was it.
Okay, you're listening to Sounds Like Harvey 2024. My name's Ian and I'm speaking to Sally Bell and Duncan Booth today, who are new residents to Harvey. Around about 3 years ago, is that correct, Sal?
Yeah, we bought our lovely little cottage in November 21, so that is 3 years ago.
But we
didn't move permanently until May of 22, so we're sort of only at 2.5 years as fully fledged Harvey residents.
So we're going to go to a song chosen by Duncan and Sally, just to break up the interview. What have we got, guys?
Yes, Sally, what song have we chosen?
Told me that I had to choose. All right. Well, we've come into town and we haven't, we've kind of made ourselves known quite loudly, I think, sort of Dunk gets around the streets on a bike and we've joined, you know, various committees and stuff. So we haven't been shy. So I think we've come into town like a sledgehammer. So
nice one.
That's what I'd like to hear. Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel, please, Ian.
Oh, and here it is now for your listening pleasure.
Could have
Welcome back. And that was Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel. Thank you, Sally Bell, for that. Sounds Like Harvey 2024. And today I'm speaking with Sally Bell and Duncan Booth, Harvey residents. We shall continue. When did you shift to Harvey and what were the main reasons for moving here, Sally?
So May 22 it was, and we were looking at, a country town we could become part of. And so we went through a process of elimination, I guess. I'd once been a part owner of some acreage in the Ferguson Valley in a previous life, like 30 years ago. So I sort of knew that area. So we first looked at the sort of Darden up Borough Cup type of environments, but they're not, I mean, in my mind, they're not towns. They're beautiful, but they don't have the services and stuff that, of a fully fledged country town. So then we looked at the strip of, I guess, Brunswick, Harvey, Waroona. And Harvey stood out for us in terms of just, the services that it had, the fact that the main street is not the highway. We loved that. We love the fact that it's only 20 minutes from the beach, which we can still go to the coast. I would need to be somewhere near coast in my head, I think. I couldn't go further inland. It's not a tourist town. It's a working town. We love that as well. We didn't want to be somewhere where it was sort of swelled by huge crowds in the summer, so that, And the whole thing where if we went further down south, to be honest, the prices go through the roof, and the whole idea of us selling up in Perth and coming down south was to free up some equity and hit that sort of retirement. So it's just got everything for us. It's got doctors and dentists. It's got an emergency hospital. It's, there's pretty much everything you need you can get in town.
It has got all the amenities, hasn't it?
Hardware store.
Great plus.
It's even got a car dealer. And, we bought a car there yesterday, as it happens. So, it just stood out head and shoulders above the alternatives.
Duncan, same?
Yeah, it is. The hour and a half away from Perth is just that absolute sweet spot. It's very, very simple to go up there. My dad's 90, so going up and seeing him as often as I can, it's just such an easy thing to do. And you can get up and back easily, just to go and have lunch or brekkie or dinner. We've had dinners that are finishing at 11 o'clock and midnight or whatever. And it's an easy drive back down here, so that's very good. Location is really cool. And Sally touched on the fact that it is a working town. We have friends who have got homes down in, the classic sort of Dunsborough and places like that. You wouldn't want to go down there, though, when everybody else is going down there.
And that's about four times a year.
Yeah, the town is just swollen stupidly.
And you can't get a parking spot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This place doesn't change. This place just does not change. It doesn't matter what day of the year it is. We haven't got the trucks and the highway going through the centre of town, so I can ride around, no hands, like an idiot, through the town like I do, without having to be worried by...
It's got a very peaceful vibe, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, very much so.
You don't feel that stress and anxiety that you get in other places.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I totally agree with that. It's friendly. It's welcoming.
It's very welcoming.
Very welcoming.
Very welcoming, yeah.
Yep.
And there are certain features too that we didn't even know about when we bought the house. Things that the sort of that have become extras to that, like the lakes. We didn't. I mean, I'm embarrassed, but I didn't know about the lakes. We didn't know about Logue Brook. We didn't know about Harvey Dam. We didn't know about
you didn't
any
really
of those
even
places.
Know about that other bit of water, that swimming pool. You did note that. Oh, well, look, there is a swimming pool.
I knew
pool,
there was a swimming pool, but I didn't know it was literally 5 minutes walk from my house.
You were probably focusing on where to buy more than.
Oh yeah, but just well,
that was
know,
a nice surprise though to see these things when
huge,
you get here.
Huge
well,
surprise.
We were beavering away. We had the removal business for the last 5 years that we were up in Perth. But before that, I had for 20 years. So 25 years of my working life has been with the trucks, moving stuff for people. And we knew we were doing well. COVID was good to certain businesses. Unfortunately, it was bad for others. But the removal game was one that we came out very well out of it, an essential service that just kept going. But we thought we'd better go and see the financial planner and you know, get an understanding of what we're up for. And we gave him the figures and that, and he came back and he just said, yep, you guys can retire. And
well, so long as you sell this house up here.
That's right. You know, if you play your cards correctly, you can retire. So Sally and I looked at each other and we just went, right, well, that's it. Monday, there was business on sale. The following weekend, we were driving around down in this area. We booked appointments with Carlo. We did a whole lot of stuff. We were just, bang, that's it. You know, a lot of people, they tell us that they love their job and it wouldn't matter if we won lotto, I'd still keep working. Not us.
Didn't have to think twice.
No way. We think that there is more to life than being told that you have to be there at a certain time and all of that.
Yeah.
We decided that if we had the opportunity to take control of our lives, we would.
And what about extended family and friends in this area? Have you got any?
Nope.
No, still haven't. Nope. We've been here for 3 years and haven't found anyone we like so far.
No, we don't.
I know you've got plenty of friends.
We don't have any.
No, in fact, we have the Clementses.
But they came after us, the thing is.
Yeah, but they came because of us.
Well, that's
they?
True. There's been a few people that have sort of, you know, pricked up their ears and gone, oh, I see. Oh, that's what you've done and have shown a bit of interest in doing something similar.
It can be done.
That it can be done, exactly.
So we have got friends that have been influenced by us.
But we didn't have anyone. There was no one in the area.
No, we didn't come down here.
No close friends in the area.
No, that's right. But we certainly do now.
Gee, we do now.
We feel so privileged to have the group of Harvey friends that we have here.
That's wonderful.
As I said, you know, the town is welcoming even to bugger lugs like us.
And I think you've just touched on this. The next question, some of your first memories and impressions of Harvey when you shifted here, I think that's already been spoken about.
Yeah, I think
Gala night, surely.
Well, Gala night was one of the first things we did because the house settled on the 17th of November or something like that. So we weren't living here permanently on that first gala night, but we came down for that weekend.
Yeah.
And we were basically camping in the cottage at that point. We didn't have much in there.
Oh, because
May's daughters left some old furniture in there for us. We actually asked them if they, and it was great for them because then they didn't have to move it.
Oh, it's handy for you.
But we were so enthused after being to that very first gala night. I think we could feel straight away the warmth and the community and, you know, seeing those kids in the Lions train with those 44-gallon drums cut in half and kids almost falling out as they went around corners.
And the line dancing, and the fact
that they backed the flatbed truck in as the stage and straight away.
At that stage, we were getting a bit of joy from watching River Cottage. Weren't we? We were sort of seeing all these lovely little country town festivals and
Backroads?
No, I mean River Cottage.
That was that River Cottage with the gourmet chef.
Oh, where they go.
Was that him?
Yeah, well, Hugh Fearnley, Whittingstall.
Yeah, but this is the UK version. And but he was having these town get togethers and we were kind of going, hey, wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun?
So we had it in our head that we'd love it. And then we witnessed that first gala night personally. We were just looking at each other going, this was it.
You were sold, bang.
And then very quickly was the rec centre. My memory is we joined the rec centre before we even lived here. I think we joined it a month or two before so that when we came down, you know, if we were here midweek, which was not often, mind you, because we were still working, but, you know, we started going to the classes. And that cemented it, I think, in terms of making friendships as well so quickly.
A very, very handy facility, all the facilities that they've got there.
Again, it's another thing that Harvey punches above its weight.
It offers us.
And we had both, I played rowing, riverboat rowing and rugby at state levels, age group levels all the way through to 21s, stuff like that. So we'd had quite a sporty background. So we both enjoyed that physical nature of sports and getting fit. But neither of us had done yoga.
No.
And so we thought, it's always been something, you know, just stretching, moving your body more. So we got into yoga and have loved it. It's just been a really, really
therapy.
Big change, hasn't it, for us?
But the people that we met through that that over 50s yoga class, so, you know, some of them have become our best friends.
Yeah, it's all about community.
And then, you know, I think what I've always said too is you cement friendships in a town like this so very quickly, because you meet someone and you have a chat. And if that happens in Perth, you don't see them again. Or if you do, it's so long, you don't remember who they are, whatever. But here you meet someone, have a chat, then you bump into the IGA, then you bump into them in, you know, like at a committee meeting or at someone else's house or whatever. And so you get to know people a lot quicker than if you were in the city.
It's a lot more immersive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone comes together, so to speak. And of course,
this has been the best move that Sally and I have made in the 20 years that we have been together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's been absolutely awesome.
Nice.
You nearly said awful.
Nearly said awful. Nearly said awful. I think the song The Future's So Bright, I've Got to Wear Shades, Timbuk3. I think that really sums up our view of what it's like here in the town.
Okay. Well, on that note.
You don't know that song, do you?
No, I don't, but I'm going to let you bring it in. I'd just like to say thanks, listeners, and thanks very much, Duncan and Sally, for your time today. It's been wonderful.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ian.
It's been great. Here's Timbuk3 with Future So Bright, Gotta Wear Shades.